Hi everyone, and welcome to another edition of Finance Talk with Dan. I've got my colleague and friend, Sadish, on the line. How are you, Sadish?
I'm very well, thank you, Dan. How are you today?
I'm cold, mate. It is a winter's day in Melbourne.
It is very cold and it's very misty.
It is very misty. Yes. And, you know, I live close to where the ports are. Not Port Melbourne, but where the freight ports are, and then you can hear the ships with their foghorns going off, which is quite interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where that's only where the rich people are. Yeah.
enough about me. The purpose of this episode is to talk about you.
Thank you.
Now, mate, just quickly introducing you to the audience. I know you not only the industry, but we do Soup Fan together.
That is correct. Yes.
So, and it's not just I've done it for a while, but then you know what you've done it, which is amazing. You've pulled your whole tribe with you. So I've seen you do it with your wife, as well as your friends, as well as some of your workmates that come along on the van with us.
Yep, absolutely. Yes.
So that's amazing. We'll come back to that later. But you know, I suppose this little episode is to introduce you to the wider audience as in who is Sadish, what makes Sadish work, right? And why did Sadish decide to do what you're doing right now? Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely, love it.
Excellent. So let's start from the quickly going through the history. When did you come to Australia?
Yes, so I landed in Melbourne in 2006. So when I finished my VC in Sri Lanka, I pretty much go to university. I came to Melbourne and I went to Deakin University, did my Bachelor of Commerce there. Mm-hmm. So when I finished that, Dan, being very honest, I wanted to travel the world, see the wonders of the world. That's the whole my plan after finishing uni.
It did not happen.
So I got into, and you will laugh at this, but I got into finance. And this is actually the way I got into finance. So when I had that in my head, I told my brother, look, I'm hoping to, you know, go travel a little bit, do a bit of work, make some money, you know, and come back in a couple of years back to Australia. Mm-hmm. Then he was like, yes, such a great idea. Look, I got a couple of roles in Commonwealth Bank. Why don't you come and do some work there?
Yeah.
Make some money and go. I was like, that's such an amazing idea. Mm-hmm. And 7 years later, I was still in Commonwealth Bank.
Well, it's a good organization to work for. I mean, I also spent about 2.5 years there myself. So
there you go. Yes.
So what made you transition though from working for a big bank to running your own mortgage brokering business?
I think the biggest key change in my life was because I always really listen to podcasts like personal development and things like that. But one day, one of these podcasts I was listening to, actually, the guy asked a question at the end. The question was, why do you have to give someone else a right to tell you that you need to come to work at 9 in the morning and finish at 5? So mm-hmm. I was like, shit, that's actually such a good question. So I pretty much start asking that by myself when I was working in the bank. And it made me realize that I could do way bigger and better things outside the bank. Mm-hmm. So, and I took the punt and I became a broker because I always loved the industry. I always loved what I do. I felt like I could do it differently. So now instead of working 9 to 5 for a bank, now I'm doing what I like from 4 in the morning till 8 in the night for 7 days.
Well, let's be honest. Let's be honest here, though, because let's go back. Because really, when you work for a bank, it is, especially when you're in sales, it really isn't 9 to 5 anyway. But the fact of the matter is, you're only selling one product. Whereas what you're doing now, right? Yeah. You're not just selling one product because you can really look after your clients well. So, but and not only that, but you're actually building something for yourself, and you got no one on your back going, hey, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? You're actually doing it because you love to do it, right?
Absolutely. And the what I really learned in last couple of years is listening to the client stories, right? So it is like when you actually sit down and start listening to your clients, it's amazing like what you learn about them, mm-hmm. right? And everyone has a story. Like, you know, while like you asked me a question about how I got to Australia, that's a similar question I asked from a lot of my clients. Look, how did you start the journey? You know, it might be your first property, it might be your investment, it might be your 15th property. Mm-hmm. So, it's amazing what you learn from your clients and like how you connect at a very personal level in this job.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than you see them as clients, they become your friends. They become a part of your family, and like you know what you said before, they come and do these amazing things with you. So you get connected at a very deeper level.
Well, let's put it on another perspective, right? Because when you're going through, and you don't just do mortgages for clients. I know that you do commercial. I know you do SME lending and so forth, right?
Yeah.
When a customer comes to you, they are supposed to disclose everything that realistically they probably won't even disclose their own spouse or their own siblings, or let alone their own parents, right?
Yeah.
They have to, because you need to know everything so you can package an application to make it succeed at a lender that you've mutually agreed on that fits best with the client or is in their interest at the time, right? So that is probably why they connect with you on a personal level. But at the same time, it's a skill as well. You can't just, no one's going to give you the kitchen sink unless they actually trust you. And they trust you, man.
Absolutely. And that's it's pretty much it's a big responsibility as well for us. We really want to make sure when people trust and put faith in us, we need to deliver. That's the other side of the story, right? Yep. You really need to make sure you deliver.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So now I'm just going to move away from what you're doing in business because you do other things, but it's sort of all related and it's all very intrinsic as well. And I take my hat off to you because I just wonder sometimes, you know, how much time do you have in your day to do all these things? But there's a time you were a counselor for one of the industry bodies in finance, so the FBAA.
Yes,
you still are.
Yes, right? I'm still alive. Yes, I am. I've been in the FBAA 3 years now, years plus. It's actually such an amazing organization because we've been led by Peter White. Such a great leader in the industry itself. Mm-hmm. Like we really we are the boots on the ground for our fellow brokers. Like you'll be surprised, Dean, the amount of support that actually FBAA sometimes do provide to its brokers. Mm-hmm. Because we are at a level at the moment, we are even whoever the new brokers coming on board, we actually giving council members are personally giving them a quick call to onboard them. Right.
Wow. Okay.
So which is a very good thing, and
it's all unpaid as well.
It's all unpaid. It's all unpaid. It's all unpaid. It's effectively allowed to the industry, it gives me a good satisfaction because the biggest reason that what I get out of this is, Dean, when I started the business, it was just me in the third room in my house. Found a table and a chair, sat there, and I got the dreams of running a business. And now I got two brokers and six other staff. So in the last 4 years, right?
And, amazing, mate. Amazing.
And that's the thing, right? And everyone else can do the same thing.
Mm.
But if I could do it, honestly, anyone else can do it. I met so much amazing people. I met you. I met a bunch of other guys, you know? I got into finance and coffee, met a lot of other people there, you know? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's a community, right?
Oh, it is. It is. It's a community, and you get back what you give out, right? So
100%, 100%. And I'm a massive, I'm spot on there, Dan. I'm a massive believer of that, right? There is always an equation, right?
Yep.
So you have to give back to get something back. You know, you had to give, first you need to give before you ask for it. Anything else?
Absolutely. So last thing, I'm just going to tie you back to what we're discussing at the beginning, which is, you know, I although I know you through Finest Coffee, and I've known you in my capacity as a BDM for a business and so forth. We've actually become friends through the soup van.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Now, if you can explain to the audience what you do with regards to every fortnight. We're part of the team. What do you do for the team, and how does that work, and why do you do it, basically?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the why is very, very simple, Dan, because it goes back into, I guess, like, I got very humble beginnings, mm-hmm. especially in Australia, like moving here as a student on my own. Like, you know, you don't have your parents, you don't have much family here. You like, starting place was pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
When I do the soup van, effectively what we do is we try to help as much as people, the homeless people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look, the way I see it is, for a lot of people, it's pretty, some days it's a transition. They're in between, you know, they might be having some hard time, so they might be homeless for a bit, but I really hope they will get out of that. And during that transition period, I think we have a responsibility to help them. So working in the Vinny Soup Van, Fitzroy, obviously, which you are a part of it, as well as, you know, one of our leaders is Tona. She's herself is a broker as well. So
she's the one that actually got me involved.
Exactly. There you go. So working, it's such a good culture there. Everyone's coming there to, like, it's obviously voluntary, and everyone's coming there to give their 100% without expecting anything, right?
No, I just go there because I don't want to spend time away from my wife and hang out with you. You're awesome, so.
Exactly. and you know, it used to be like that, right? When we originally did it, it was just a bunch of us doing it.
Yeah.
And it was so good because we were just, like, we're having a good banter, having a good laugh. We're actually having a great time. I look forward for my Saturday nights, you know?
Yeah, same. I mean, it's sort of, we don't talk finance.
No,
it's just a
exactly.
bunch of people from different backgrounds that, you know, normally we would never, ever meet each other, to be honest, right?
Absolutely.
And we're here to do something, which is pretty cool.
Exactly. And that's the key, right? Like, a bunch of us working together for a common goal. So it's amazing. It's amazing. Like, the people you meet, you know, all of them are like in their purest form of giving. You know, none of them are like, all of them are there, and there a lot of regulars are there. We meet a lot of regulars, like, you know, more than 50 to 60% of the team are always regulars. So it's amazing.
So let's just go back for the audience as well, because, you know, the soup van itself, what do we do? So we basically, there's another amazing team, obviously, that prepares the food, which is,
of course,
you know, that goes out.
Yep.
We then, me and you, we jump in a van with another 15 other people to then deliver the food.
Exactly.
So if you can just explain quickly what do we do? Where do we go?
Absolutely. So the team, the kitchen team, which we call them, they comes around 4 o'clock, prepare the amazing food for the night, which we come and pack around 6:30 in the afternoon. So in the night, we will actually deliver or serve close to 350 to 400 people, 400 actual homeless people around Melbourne. So the it's actually been delivered to 10 stops, which includes 5 boarding houses. So some of these boarding houses, we actually go in, knock on the doors, see how the people are, and actually have a chat to them, how's their day, see how they're feeling. There are some sick people as well, so you still want to make sure, you know, they are okay, and serve them. The whole idea of the night is to serve people. But the biggest thing is, Dan, like, you know, before I did this, I never thought in a city like Melbourne, there'll be 350 to 400 homeless people. You know what I mean? It is crazy.
But, yeah, it is crazy. And let's also put this in perspective as well. We're not the only team. So
not at all. Absolutely. Yeah,
so there's other St. Vinny's teams in different areas, serving different areas. And on top of that, St. Vinny's are not the only soup band, basically. There's other organisations that also organises similar things as well, which is, you know, amazing, to be honest. But it's also sad, and we're part of a pandemic right now. I just hope it doesn't get worse, but, you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but I think the government's actually doing a couple of great initiatives there to help these people. They're moving some of these homeless people from, if you are on streets, they could possibly have, they check them into a hotel, try to get them out, as well as we at the moment, we are doing contactless deliveries as well. So there's a 1300 number they could call, and they could basically request whatever they need, and we could actually drop that off for them. So at the moment, that's what we've been doing. It's amazing. It's amazing how many people you could actually help.
Right. There it goes. From humble beginnings to successful business owner and very giving and gentle person, mate. You're one of the champs of the industry, mate.
Too kind, Ben.
But, mate, thank you so much for giving your time today just to have a quick chat with me. I'd love to have you back again on a follow-up episode just to see, you know, how things are traveling, things are changing and so forth, and your worldview, because you're similar to myself where, you know, we've come to this amazing country. And, you know, I would love to say that we've been incredibly blessed and lucky, but at the same time, you got to work damn hard for what you have. Right? So,
yep.
And it's just, you know, I think people need to hear that. People need to... be inspired by what you do, because like you said, if you could do it, anyone can do it. Right? So.
Oh, absolutely. Like if a kid from Sri Lanka can do it, anyone can do it. Nice and simple, you know.
So Sadesh, mate, thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you again.
Beautiful. Thanks, Dean. Really appreciate your time, and mate, once again, you've been a great supporter for me, and I really appreciate that.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
See you, buddy. Bye. Bye-bye.